Hello everyone, this is Exposé 247. We want to welcome you for a big moment of exposition, the big moment of change. We want to appreciate you for the viewership, we want to appreciate you for the fellowship, but more importantly, we will be encouraged if you walk the truth. You know, what we've been sharing, you are living it daily. Last week, we were going on and on about the disconnect and the connect and letting us to know that there is a wide gap between the giving hand and the receiving hand, that a lot could be done in the middle, a lot in transmission. That's why you went, I think you went to James, telling us about the receiving, the implanted words. So that something is implanted, needs to be received again. I don't know if you want to just round that up, or we want to go into to the next verse.
Viewers all over the world, thank you for being with us on this Prodigal Father series that we've started for quite some time back. We've made a long, we've actually made quite a good progress on this series. And for if you were with us in the last episode, we established one thing, that even though we've been emphasizing the fact that the Father is good and that the goodness of God is independent of what we do or what we don't do. But last episode, we brought a different dimension to that understanding. And what we said is, in conclusion, that even though God's goodness is independent of us, however, it does us no good unless we're able to receive it. And we said the church must go beyond singing and always all the time talking about God is great, God is good, God is mighty. We need to go beyond that and learn how to receive that and experience the God that is great. And we did say that even demons are much more concerned about we receiving than just declaring there's a God, according to the book of James. And that's where we actually did stop on last episode.
And it's very, very important. That episode is very, very important because so many people, they just miss the receiving part. They don't have the problem with the giving.
And I think today, what our focus will be is, we've actually been doing something on this episode. We've looked at how the father treated the younger son in Luke chapter 15, Jesus' parable, and how the father treated the elder son. And we came to one conclusion, and the conclusion we came to is, God's love, God's goodness, God's favor is only on God's terms and not on our terms. So everything that God did because of who he is. And we came to that conclusion all through looking at how the father in Luke 15 dealt with the younger son and the elder son. And you see, all what we said so far will begin to ring a note of warning in you, and people begin to ask a question. And the question is, does it matter what we do? Does it matter how we live our lives? If we did say that God's love is unconditional, and God's goodness is independent of what we do or not do. James chapter 1 verse 17 makes a very important point. James 1 says that every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning, no variableness. What James is saying is, every good gift comes from God who doesn't change. God doesn't change. It means it doesn't matter how we live our lives. It doesn't matter how we respond to God. God's standpoint doesn't change. But however, this brings a question. Does it matter then what we do? Does it matter what we don't do if God is the same God, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forevermore? If your action cannot change God for who he is. In fact, the book of Timothy said, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. So the question is, if God remains faithful, if God never changes his standpoint towards us, then the big question is, does it matter then how we live our lives? Or does it matter what we do? And that's the thing we're going to be addressing on today's episode. And that's what we need to focus on. And I'm going to start today by looking at the thing that Paul had to address in Romans chapter 5. If you have your scriptures, if you have your Bible there, please open your scriptures with me to Romans chapter 5. Now, if you look at verse 19 and verse 20, Romans chapter 5, it says, moreover, that's verse 19, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Now what Paul is saying is, it doesn't matter the volume of sin, it doesn't matter the degree of sin, it doesn't matter how deep ungodliness or unrighteousness somebody is in. Paul said, if sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Now, what Paul is saying is, it doesn't matter. People's sin, people's ungodliness, men's unrighteousness cannot frustrate the grace of God. Let's say that again. The people's unrighteousness, men's ungodliness cannot frustrate God's grace. God's grace cannot give up. God's grace cannot say, you know what, I've had it. God's grace can never say that. I've had enough. That's too much. I mean, if you're the younger son, if you're going to take my inheritance in Luke 15 and waste my inheritance, it means that's too much. I've had enough. That's too much. That's an extreme. Or God says, that grace says, oh, there's something I can deal with. If you're lying, if you've been dishonest, I can deal with that. But killing someone, I can't deal with that. Or grace never says, okay, you know what? It's fine for you.
There's no limit.
It says, where sin abounds, grace much more. It means grace cannot be frustrated by what people do. Now, that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, doesn't matter how bad you are, doesn't matter how wicked anybody is, they cannot frustrate God's grace. Nobody can sin beyond the grace of God. That's what Paul said in this Romans 5:20. Now, listen. And then, when he said this thing, look at the question that actually arises in the next verse. That's when let's go to chapter 6 from verse 1.
Okay.
He said, what shall we say then? Now, this is a question. Somebody's asking Paul this question. He said, Paul, what are you talking about? Are you saying then? That's in verse 2. Now, that's verse 1. Sorry. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Are you saying it doesn't matter how we live? If you're telling me that it doesn't matter what I do, grace is always going to be available. Have you noticed? For the younger son, when the younger son left home in this parable, by the time he got back, grace was waiting for him. Grace didn't shift position. Now, so Apostle Paul is saying, people are asking the Apostle Paul, and they're simply saying, are you saying then that it doesn't matter what we do? He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, there's a way people read this. I mean, when I was much younger, when people are going to interpret the scripture, what they try to say is, we cannot continue in sin so that grace would increase. It means, it's simply saying that people think what it says is, we cannot continue to live in an ungodly manner and expect God's grace to abound. No, that's not what he said. People are trying to reinterpret what that scripture is saying. The scripture is simply saying, if people continue in sin, grace will abound. People cannot frustrate the grace of God. You know why? Because the grace of God is all about God himself, not about us. So what this is trying to say, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you refuse to do, grace will always be available because it's based on the terms of God and not on human terms. So the question is, are you saying, Mr. Paul, are you saying, Apostle Paul, that it doesn't matter what we do, grace will always be available? Yes. Now listen, this is the question. Now you see, and what we tell people is, anywhere the true gospel of grace is being preached, anywhere the true gospel of grace is being ministered, this question must arise. And may I say this? If you are anywhere where you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you minister the gospel of Christ, and this question does not arise, you have to question whether you're ministering the true gospel of grace. I'll say this again. Apostle Paul had to address this question 4 times in the book of Romans. 4 different times, the Apostle Paul has to answer this question. I say, anywhere the true gospel of grace is being ministered, this question must arise.
You're saying it must provoke.
It must provoke this question. Any ministration that doesn't provoke this question is not the ministration of the true gospel of grace. Listen, Apostle Paul was a man that was sold out to the gospel. He was a man that suffered for the cause of the gospel. He was a man who was shipwrecked for the sake of the gospel. He was stoned and left to be dead. This man paid the price for the gospel. In fact, he did say that to the Jews, I was like a Jew. To those without the law, I was a man without the law. This man sold his whole life to the gospel. And yet, when Paul would preach the true gospel of grace, people are to ask him the question, are you saying, Paul, it doesn't matter how we live? And I say to you, I submit to you, this question must always be asked when we put the gospel of grace. That's why on Exposé, this question is arising. Somebody posted a question on our page. I think that was about some weeks ago.
Yeah.
And this person was saying to us, he said, are you then saying that it doesn't matter how we leave? If you're simply saying that the father was waiting for the younger son after he has wasted his resources, the father did not give out any punishment to the younger son. The father was waiting for the younger son to come back home. And the person asked the question.
What was the motivation?
The person said, why then does it matter what we do or what we don't do? If God is good and God will not change his nature because of us. And the person was asking us that question. And when the person asked the question, I was happy within myself. And this is the reason. Because one of the yardstick, one of the measurement base to know if the gospel of grace has been ministered is people must ask this question. That's why Paul, like I said, had to address this question four times in the book of Romans. And the question is this, shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? Because now you've told us that it doesn't matter what we do. God will always be good. God will always be faithful. God will be consistent. God's nature, God's goodness, God's faithfulness has nothing to do with us. Now, the question is, shall we then leave anyhow? That's the big question. And that's the question we need to answer on this series. Now, we need to see how the Apostle Paul answered this question, if it really matters what we do. Now, the question is, see what he said next. He said, don't you know, that's the question, don't you know that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Let me say this. What about if there's no motivation to do righteousness? I'll say this again. What about if we cannot give you any reason? What about if we say what you do or what you don't do has no effect on God? Again, what about there's no motivation for you to do right? What about if you do right because you were made right? That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, shall we that we are dead to what? To sin. The new creation reality is not just some methods or some procedures or some principles.
Or rules.
It is a change of nature. Now, the reason why a dog is a dog, because a dog is a dog. A dog will bark because a dog is a dog. You don't need to teach a dog seven steps of how to bark or three ways to be a dog. Paul is simply saying, if you're asking me the question, that shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Well, Paul did say, yes, you can. It doesn't matter. You can't frustrate the grace. Now, there's something that comes to mind. There used to be a Russian monk. His name was Rasputin. Now, Rasputin was a monk in Russia, during the Caesar, the time of the, when there was the Caesar reigning in Russia, during the First World War. Now, you see, Rasputin held this same scripture of Romans chapter 6, and Rasputin said, wow, are you saying then that it doesn't matter how much we sin, grace cannot be frustrated? And Rasputin said, I'll leave anyhow I want to leave then. He was a monk, and it was recorded in history. If you read the 48 Laws of Power, Robert Greene, Rasputin actually committed so much atrocity with most of his people in his church, he committed adultery and fornication with them, because he said, it doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter how I act, grace is always available. But listen, what the Apostle Paul was simply saying is, what about if the reason why we do right is because we're made right? Our nature was changed. We're given a new nature. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. So the reason why we do right, the reason why we act right, is because we have a new nature.
And we are made right.
And if anyone tells you they have received the grace of God, if anybody says they have been made anew and live anyhow they want to live, we have to question whether they've actually received the new nature that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18-19, it said, you were born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word. It means when you gave your life to Jesus, a seed was put in you. The Bible says, if anybody is in Christ, he said he cannot sin because the seed of God remains in him. There's a seed that came into you. There's a new life that came into you. And the reason why you do right is because you were made right. That's why the Bible talks about the grace of God in Titus 2:11. It said the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness. A teacher came into you when you gave your life to Jesus. A teacher came into your spirit. A teacher came into your life. And Paul is simply saying, if you're asking me that, shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? Yes. But listen, what about if we say we don't sin because we are no more sinners, but we are made righteous? And that is the reason. That's the reality. So the very first basis of grace is to simply say, we are changed. We are dead to sin. We are completely dead to the sin nature, and we are made alive in Christ Jesus. And that is why every time, if you notice the scriptures, Every time there was a scandal in the scriptures, in the New Testament, anytime somebody did something wrong among the church people, when the Apostle Paul was going to bring a correction, it was going to come with that revelation. For example, you know the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians 5, when they had someone in the Corinthian church who was sleeping with his father's wife, and you see who was committing immorality with his father's wife. Now, when the Apostle Paul would address the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he told them, he said, "Don't you know that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit which you have received of God?" Now, he's simply trying to tell them, do you not know there is something new about you? Yeah. Do you not understand that you have a new nature? Do you not understand that the reason why you cannot live anyhow is because you're not the same person you used to be? Now, listen, if you live anyhow, it will not change how God sees you. If you live anyhow, it will not change God's disposition towards you. If you live anyhow, it wouldn't make God change his mind towards you. But listen, the reason why you cannot live anyhow is not because you want to make God happy about you. And I think this is where we get it all wrong. Many Christians have the wrong motivation for living right. We have the wrong motivation for acting right. We have the wrong motivation for doing the right thing. I repeat, in the scriptures it tells us that you cannot outsin grace.
Yeah.
You cannot outdo the grace of God. You cannot frustrate God's grace. Now, listen, I know there's a place in the scriptures where Paul said, I do not frustrate the what? The grace of God. Now, don't get that out of context, because in that particular scripture, Paul was talking about frustrating grace because you're not making use of grace. Those are two different things, because he said if righteousness could be achieved by the law, he said that means I frustrate the grace of God. That's the context in which grace was frustrated. But in this particular, this is a different context of Romans chapter 6. In this context, it says you cannot do anything that will make God change his mind about you. That's what the Bible says, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You cannot do anything. I repeat, this is the true grace of God. It's the true gospel of grace. You cannot make God change his mind about you or who you are. But listen, the reason why we do right or we act right then is not because we want to convince God about us. No, the reason why we do right is because God made us right in Christ Jesus. And I think the responsibility then lies upon everyone, lies upon every Christian to understand what happened to you at the new birth. To understand that a new seed has come into you, a new life has come into you. And every time you fall into error, every time you do the wrong thing, every time you actually live a life that is not pleasing to God, that happened to you because you are not living out the implication of the gospel. That's the reason. And I think when I say the gospel, people think we're talking about unbelievers. And every time I talk about gospel, the good news, we think it's about unbelievers. That's not true. Now, the good news is not just for unbelievers. The good news is for believers alike, because I remember in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian church. Listen, it's called the Galatian church, not the Galatians unbelievers. The Galatian church. Paul said, "Why are you soon removed from the gospel of grace unto another gospel? I submit to you, every gospel that is not the gospel of grace is another gospel." Now, this was written to believers. It was written to Christians, not unbelievers. So when we talk about the gospel, it's not just for unbelievers. The gospel is for believers alike. We need to live out of our lives. When I say live, I mean we need to express the full implications of the gospel. And so what we see in the scripture simply says that when we came into Christ, we became dead to the sin nature. We became dead to sin, and now we are made alive in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't matter if you feel like it. It doesn't matter whether you, it doesn't matter if your feelings correspond or not. That's the reality of what happened to you in new birth. So the challenge for us then is to understand what happened to us and to live out of our lives every day that implication. So if anybody's living in sin, they are living in sin because they don't know what happened. That's why this Romans 6:2 says, "Know you not? Don't you know that if anybody claims they can live anyhow because of grace," he said, "the person has a bigger problem. They don't even know what happened to them at the new birth.
They
don't even know the reality of what happened. If anybody is committing adultery and fornication in the church, it means they don't even understand that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit." Now, see what happened in 1 Corinthians 7 before we go ahead, before we actually conclude today. You see, when the Corinthian church were busy fighting among themselves, and were busy, you know, backbiting, and they were busy gossiping. You see, when the Apostle Paul would speak again, see the understanding of this man Paul. See the greatness of his revelation. See what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, chapter 7 to them. He said, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Don't you know the status that God has given to you, the new position you have in Christ Jesus? And why, if you're going to judge angels, why is it that it's so, this matters, this small matters of church is actually throwing people off? So now I think I submit to you, the reason why somebody who has received a new life in Christ Jesus will live in sin is because they don't understand what happened to them or what they have received. So today, we have made a major point known that the first basis for living right, the first foundation or the foundation for doing the right thing is because we need to know God made us right already in Christ Jesus. And that's the foundation of it.
Yeah, to capture everything you've said today, we could infer from what you said that the grace of the Lord is boundless, you know. It is limitless, you know. You cannot out-sin.
No, you can't. You can't simply say, well, I'm not going to sin too much so that God doesn't become unhappy with me. I will not sin too much.
About the supply of grace. We have to settle this in our mind that this supply, you cannot out-sin.
You cannot sin and say, well, there's a limit.
You cannot strip it of the supply and say, we are running out of grace, no matter what, no matter what condition, no matter any man frailty, of any sin that's never even been thought of. Yeah. There is grace available for it.
It's on God's
terms. That is it. You know, that's the truth. It looks weird, but that is the truth. There is grace available for it. Then secondly, we learned about this. We are putting to rest this question that always comes in whenever the gospel of grace. It
must be hard. People always ask that question.
Then what is the point? What's the motivation? But now the answer is in John this. And you were able to show us how Apostle Paul dealt with the similar questions, the same questions that we asked over and over again. And you know, it's not changing the pattern. And we know that this proposition, it's the argument hints on it, that making us to remember who we are. So the way to answer the question is just knowing who you are, the reality of ourselves. If you know who you are, what came to you, then you understand. There's no point. There's no point. There's no encouragement. There's no motivation. Why would you sin?
If you're not a sinner.
If you're not a sinner.
I mean, a righteous man lives righteously and a sinner lives in sin. So if you are a righteous person, and that's why, you see, we talk about conviction all the time. Talk about conviction of the Spirit. We always say, well, we need to make sure people are convicted. But you see, the greatest conviction that a believer needs, of course, an unbeliever who has not come to Christ needs to be convicted of the fact that you are falling short of the glory of God. But if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, the greatest conviction you need is the conviction of your righteousness. That's what Jesus said, that when he said, now I'm coming to you, John 16, he said, of righteousness, he said, the word must be convicted of righteousness because I go to the Father. See, of righteousness. There's a conviction of our righteousness. We need to be convicted of our righteousness, of who we are. And if we are convicted of righteousness, we will live lives consistent with the identity that we actually know of ourselves.
And it is very interesting to know that different situations played out. The one that in the Corinthians church, when there was the morality case, and when there was bickering and strife among them, every time anything comes out, the only approach is just reminding.
Don't you know?
No, don't you know? Don't you know?
Don't you
know? I don't know the scenario that is playing in our lives, the scenario. Just get back to know. Don't you know?
There's no point feeling condemned and thinking that what you did has done something to God. Sorry. It might be surprising to you, the true gospel of grace says there's nothing that you did or didn't do that has nothing to do with how God sees you. So there's no point feeling condemned. You should be much more concerned about seeing yourself the way God sees you. That should be more of a concern to you, more than you thinking of how what you did had effect on God. It should be much more important to you about why is it that what you are and who you are is not affecting the way you live your life.
So the burden on us, the burden on us, on the burden on believers is knowing the reality of who they are and trying to reminding ourselves of who we are in every scenario. So we remind them, if we know who you are, we know the seed that is in us.
Yes.
We are begotten of God, you know, that they cannot commit sin.
Yeah.
But the seed of God is
in him. And he has to keep. Anybody must keep having that awareness that the seed of God is here. And if the seed of God is here, I can't live that way. I cannot talk that way. I cannot relate that way. I cannot be that way because this is who I am. And so that's the challenge that we have as Christians, to always bring that thing in perspective, who we are in Christ Jesus.
And that's not just one line of defense. That's just the only answer. Just reminding who we are. So today we thought we've done enough on that, and tomorrow, same time, 7 p.m., we will continue on this passage. And we'd like to invite anybody that is in our neighborhood. We'll be having ministration in Chapel House.
We'll be in Chapel House Christian Fellowship in Shirley tomorrow by 11 a.m. We'll start the ministration roughly around that time. So if you are within the Chorley, Preston, Lancashire region, you can join us at that time as we bring the truth of the life that is in the Word of God.
And then we hope there will be a live Facebook live.
Yeah, you can also connect with us on our Facebook page. We should be live streaming at that time if you're unable to join us then.
So we'll see you again tomorrow, 7 p.m. or during the ministration. So stay grounded in God's Word.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.